بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم علمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. So we are on the 23rd adab, if I'm not mistaken. بعض الصالحين يرى في المنام شيوخا ويظن أنه يجد فائدة باطنية من ذلك الشيخ بدون توفيق. Salics, they see in a dream different mashayikh, and they think that they got the nisbah, or that they find the nisbah from them, yani from that shaykh, without the intermediary of their own shaykh. ولكنه خديعة شيطانية, but rather this is a satanic deception. والشيطان يريد أن يقطع رابطته بشيخه. And the shaitan that desires to cut the connection between the connection that the student has with his own sheikh. وهناك بعض الصالحين, and some of the salikin they are, يرون في المنام, they see in their dream, رؤيا كثيرة, many different dreams. بعضها أعجب من بعض. Some of them are more amazing, one more amazing than the next. ولكنهم في التزام الشريعة يتكاسلون, but with regards to holding steadfast to the matters of the Sharia, they are, you find them lazy and falling behind. وهذه آيات بينات على وقوعهم في الفتنة, and these are clear signs of them falling into a trial, a fitna. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتمثل بي. Whosoever, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever sees me in a dream, he has truly seen me, because Shaitan does not take my likelihood, my similitude, or he does not take my form of my person. So we know from what we understand from this hadith is that if he can take the form of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that does mean that he can come in other forms. And this is one of the very common ways in which people sometimes, I shouldn't say common way, but it is one way in which Shaitan misguides people, especially people who get very mystical about things, and they lose their footing, they don't have their feet on the ground, and more so their head is in the sky, then sometimes the smallest sort of supernatural occurrence, they take as a sign that, God is guiding me this way and God is guiding me that way. Where in fact our religion is really not, inherent, necessarily fantastical in that way. In many ways very grounded, particularly our tariqah. And, Hazrat and Shaykh Hussein both put very little in dreams, and perhaps even less in ahwal, and different type of preternatural experiences that people may experience along this path, supernatural experiences. A prime example is the other day when I came home in the mailbox, someone had emailed me or mailed me a book. It looks like really one of those like New York, the cover and the way it was set out, and it had a Muslim name on it, and it was set out like one of those New York Times bestsellers. And the on the cover was the title, 10 Amazing Muslims or something like that. And it follows, 10 different Muslims in their search for God, and, from scholars to just normal people. And basically it was a Christian missionary book that they had taken people who had become murtad, and they sort of followed them. They followed their path of, how they left Islam. And, it was really... you read their lives, and many times people are turned away from Islam by Muslims, not by Islam. One of them was, he was going to be put to death by his family because he had marred the honor of the family. Jahil things like that. But then I was reading about the person who actually authored the book himself, and his experience was that, you know, he was like sort of a staunch Muslim, and he said, I would never leave Islam, and, you know, these Christians have, you know, the standard, they have really gone astray because, you know, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have, you know, a son, and, you know, very similar, I guess, background to a person of, you know, traditional Pakistani Indian descent. And so he happened, for some reason or other, to go to these conventions where there's these Christians, at like a Christian convention, maybe through business meetings or something like that, and the preacher would be preaching. But his turning point was that in one of the sittings, he said that, you know, I saw God, and I felt him in my every fiber of my soul and body. And he describes him as, you know, this light, and he was like 6 feet tall or something like that. You know, I was just like kidding with my kids, as like, my sheikh is taller than your God. Because, you know, it's ajeeb, but then this light came into him, and it told him X, Y, and Z. It's just shaitan, right? It's the masalu, that he takes a form that the person can see and misguides people. It happened to Abdul Qadir Jilani. I mean, different story perhaps for a different day as well, where he came to Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, in the form of a cloud. So shaitan does these tricks from time to time, and people can get misled. So one way is that it comes actually in a wakeful sense, or in the wakeful context, and sometimes he will come in dreams and misguide people that way. For example, like, you know, to turn a person's attention away from their own sheikh, he may come, you know, and say that, oh, you're getting nisbah from such and such person. And so the person's attention turns towards them, and they're left neither keeping attachment with their own sheikh nor with that other sheikh, and then they start believing themselves to already be a sheikh. Now, you know, Sheikh Ahmed, he said, you know, something really beautiful. He said, the problem is, you know, when people get khilafah, ono samajhte hai ki hazrat ban gaye. And sometimes people, like, they get khilafah, and then they say, oh, I'm Hazrat, and I'm a big sheikh, and I don't need anyone. And we're always dependent on our teachers and our elders. So that's the lifeline that keeps us alive, because they're connected. And ultimately, it's because all of this is dependent on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It connects the inner sanad back to him. So when a person disconnects with their teacher, they're actually disconnecting themselves from that sanad, from that power line. So Rawahu Ahmad wa Bukhari wa Tirmizi al-Jami al-Saghir, and that's the reference. يقول الشيخ مجد الفيثاني في مكتوباته. مجد الفيثاني Imam Rabbani, who's one of the mashayikh, who's the survivor of the second millennia, and one of the mashayikh, or key mashayikh in our silsila, he writes in his maktubat, which is perhaps one of his magnum opus, أن الشيطان لا يستطيع أن يأتي في سورة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي هو موجود بها في المدينة المنورة. That shaitan is unable or incapable to come in the likeness of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, that physical form with which he is present within مدينة منورة. ويستطيع أن يخاضع في كل سورة سواها. But it is possible for him to أن يخاض في كل سورة سواها, no, أن يخاضع, to deceive in every different type of form besides it. سواء أن كان سورة ولي من أولياء الله, whether it be the form of a saint from the أولياء of Allah, أو سورة أحد من آبائه أو أجداده, or the form of one of his fathers or one of his grandfathers. And so you see this, like, you know, some people had these quote-unquote near-death experiences, and they say, oh, you know, God, they might say, oh, God talked to me, or I saw X, Y, and Z, and God told me X, Y, and Z, and then they came back, and they're giving this message of Christianity. I mean, we know that this is the time where shaitan loves to strike, because you know, great scholars, even the like of, I believe, Imam Razi, rahimahullah, was put to the test at the very last moment, fi sakarat al-maut. So, because if shaitan can do intihab and steal a person's iman at the last minute, then what more joyful and gleeful thing would there be for him, for a person to take a person's entire life worth of work and to Sarvani Paradena, you know, to put it for waste in a matter of moments. Or a person will say, oh, I saw my father come to me and he said that X, Y, and Z. And that's what, you know, like you should turn towards this religion or you should do this and stuff. And that's why it's important to put everything that occurs from these type of occurrences in the light of the Sharia, because that's our safety net. فالسالكون الذين يضعون أساس روحانيتهم على الرؤية في خطر عظيم. So for those salics who put the foundation of their spirituality upon dreams, then they are in great danger. خلفاء بعض الزوايا يبدأون الكلام بالرؤية ويختمون بالرؤية. So the خلفاء of, you know, some Khanqas, I know I used to work monasteries, but, you know, places which are dedicated for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they begin their speech with dreams, and they begin their speech with dreams. And a poet said to the effect, قَالَ الشَّاعِرُ مَا مَعْنَاهُ الْعِشُّ الَّذِي يَصْنَعُ عَلَى فَرْعٍ ضَعِيفٌ غَيْرُ قَوِيٍّ, that that nest that is built upon a branch is weak, not strong. So جاء في بعض الروايات أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قرأ بمكة النجم فلما بلغ إلى هذه الموضع. So it comes in certain narrations that Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم was reciting Surah Al-Najm. والنجم إذا هوى ما ظل صاحبكم وما غوى, you know, so on and so forth. In Mecca, and when he reached this point, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى, do you see Lat and Uzza and Manat another third, or the third another? أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ تِلْكَ الْغَرَانِيقُ الْأُولَى وَأَنَّ شَفَاعَتَهُنَّ تُرْتَجَى. The shaitan cast upon the tongue of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that تِلْكَ الْغَرَانِيقُ الْأُولَى. غَرَانِيق, I think it's a type of bird. Okay. Like a crane, I think. But these were idols of the Quraysh, right? Lat, Uzza, and Manat. Quran. Oops. So they translated, these are exalted Gharaniq, whose intercession is hoped for. It is a Hapax legend. Yeah, that's what it says here. Commentators wrote that it meant cranes. Raven, crow, eagle. Regardless, I mean, it's referring to these. So, and Manat the third, and the other. So, when referring to this, قالوا ما ذكر آلهتنا بخير قبل اليوم فسجدوا وسجدوا فسجد وسجدوا, I think. So, they said that the Quraysh, they said that he has never mentioned any of our gods, yani Lat, Uzza, Manat, any of the of their false gods in a good way before this day. So he made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sajda, and they also made sajda. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ. So Allah subhanahu wa taala, he revealed this ayah. مَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيرٌ. So we did not send a prophet before this. Let's see. So we did not send... Where is it? قَمْلَكَ مِنْ رَسُولِ. We did not send before you a messenger, nor before you from a messenger or a prophet, illa alqa shaytan, except the shaytan threw within his niyyah, is like he threw some type of vanity into his desire. فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقَى الشَّيْطَانِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogates what shaitan threw. ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear and manifest his signs. اللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And this story is in Tafsir ibn Kathir. قال ابن كثير رحمه الله. Ibn Kathir, he said that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ أَوْقَعَ فِي مَسَامِعِ الْمُشَارِكِينَ ذَلِكَ. That shaitan cast in the hearing of the mushrikeen those words. فَتَوَهَّمُوا أَنَّ صَدَرَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. So they began to think, or they mistakenly deemed that it emanated from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ فِي نَفْسِ الْأَمْرِ. But the matter was not such in reality. بَلْ إِنَّمَا كَانَ مِنْ صَنِيعِ الشَّيْطَانِ لَا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَاللَّهُ عَالَمٌ. But rather it was from the doing of shaitan, not from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And so you can imagine how terrible and how extensive the trick of shaitan can go, when he can even cast false information into the ears of the listener, so much so that they begin to think that it's coming from Rasulullah. The only thing is that the saving grace here being that when it comes to the matter of Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow for any type of confusion about the clear and bayan message that he brought. That's why shaitan cannot come in his form in the dream, so that there is no type of confusion. And similarly, even if shaitan were to go to this nth degree of trying to, you know, cast false information as if it was coming from Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan sort of reaches his bounds and goes to that extent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also responds with direct intervention, so that he gets cancelled out. فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقَى الشَّيْطَانِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he abrogates or cancels anything that shaitan throws forward. فَعُلِمَ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ جَعَلَ صَوْتَهُ كَصَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. So it is known that shaitan made his voice like the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَرَأَ هَذِهِ الْعِذَارَةِ. And he read this sentence, الْغَرَانِيقُ الْأُولَى. Where is it? وَأَنَّ شَفَاعَتُهُنَّ تُرْتَجَى. And if you really, if a person has ذوق for the ayat, it really doesn't fit with the cadence of the verses of Surah Al-Najm. It looks off, like you feel it, that it is something which it just doesn't fit with the rest of the surah. It seems like something you've taken, you know, haphazard and just dropped it in. So this is a point on which to ponder and contemplate. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ مِنْ خَدِيعَةِ الرِّجَالِ الطَّاحِرِينَ كَالصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. So the shaitan, he did not stop from trying to deceive the pure men like the sahaba رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَنْهُمْ. وَبِحَضْرَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And in that too, in the actual presence of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he had no shame, and he tried to do these type of tricks and deceptions. فَمَاذَا نَحْنُ مِنْهُمْ. So what is our position in comparison to them? حَتَّى نَدَّعِي دَعْوَ كَبِيرَةٍ وَسَالِكُ الْيَوْمِ. That we, you know, make big claims. وَسَالِكُ الْيَوْمِ مَا عَضْعَفُ رُوحَانِيَّتِهِ وَمَا عَبْعَدُهُ مِنْ مِشْكَاتِ النُّبُوَّةِ. And the salik of today, how weak is his spirituality, and how far is he from the lamp of prophethood? وَحَلْ مِنْ سَعُوبَةٍ فِي إِذْلَالِ في إغلال الشيطان في عصر الفتنة وفي حالة النوم. And so thus it's difficult to miss for shaitan, for the deceptions of shaitan to occur in a time of fitna, an epoch of fitna, and in the state of sleep. فَلْيُفَكِّرْ أَسَّالِكْ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانُ يُضِلُّنَا مُنْتَحِبِينَ إِيْغَاظًا. So a person, Salik, should ponder that shaitan, he misleads us, and مُنْتَحِبِينَ إِيْغَاظًا, and he steals from us while we are awake. فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ لَهُ أَذْلَالُنَا بِالْمَنَامِ صَعْبًا. So why would it be difficult for him to misguide an individual when they're sleeping? فَلَا يَثِقْنَا عَلَى الْمَنَامَاتِ. So a person should not rely or give much credence to dreams. وَكُلُّ مَا رَأَى فِي الْمَنَامِ يَذْكُرُهُ لِمُرْشَدِهِ. And everything that he sees in his dream, he should mention to his murshid, to his sheikh. وَيَدْعُو بِهَذَا الدُّعَاءِ. And he should make this dua. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ حَمَاسَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونِ. That this is a verse of the Quran. Allahumma, O Allah, I seek refuge from you from the hamazat. It's like a trick, I think, or blowing. Let's see. Hamazat. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ حَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. From the suggestions, promptings of the evil ones, yani the shayateen. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. And I seek refuge that they present themselves to me. Or they present themselves. So let's see. Yeah, lest they should come near me. Okay, Al-Adab al-Rabi wal-Ashroon, the 24th Adab. So just to recap on this Adab number 23. Where are we? 21, 22. So in this section is that if a person sees a dream, that they should mention it to their sheikh. And that's one of the benefits of mentioning dreams to a righteous scholar, is that oftentimes they'll take out a good meaning for it. We talked about the different ways from which dreams can emanate. And then also a very important cautionary statement. I spent quite a bit of time on it, sort of underscoring the importance of understanding that we don't put too much credence in dreams, actually, because a lot of times it can actually come from shaitan. And a person is actually a big source where people can get misled. So a person needs to take sometimes these dreams with a grain of salt, and that's one of the benefits of presenting the dream to the sheikh, because he can sort of sift that out for you oftentimes. Al-Adab al-Rabi wal-Ashroon, the 24th Adab. كل ورد ودعاء يعلمه المرشد يتخذه عادة ويترك كل ورد سواه. That every type of litany or dua that the murshid teaches him, he should take it in a habitual manner. ويترك كل ورد سواه. And that he should leave any type of litany other than it. سواء بدأه بنفسه أو علمه أحد. Regardless of whether he started it with himself or someone else had taught it to him, يعمل أعمال المسنات. Oh, مستثنات. I should be مستثنى. It's a misprint. نعم الأعمال المسنونة مستثنات. But yes, those a'mal, or those doings, or those actions which are sunnah actions, like the du'as of which are come as a part of the ad'iyah, the sunaniyah, masnuniyah, the masnun du'as, then those ones are accepted from this. So you don't need permission for doing any of those. And I remember that back in 2009, Hazrat Ji was sort of in the anteroom after he had done, you know, a special muraqabah with some of the khulafa. It was actually the muraqabah after he gave them khilafah of intiqal al-nisbah. And after that, he came out, and I remember someone asking him that Hazraji, like, and if someone asked us for a word or something like that. And he said that whatever you find, what is a litany, right? And then he said, whatever is in the sunnah, that is our word. So this goes with this point. So I did some commentary. تقول العامة لا يأخذ المريض في وقت واحد إلا دواء طبيب واحد. That, you know, the common man says that the person who's sick at a particular time, he does not take except for the medicine of one particular doctor. فَكَذَلِكَ لَا يَعْمَلُ سَالِكْ إِلَّا بِالْأَوْرَادِ الَّتِي عَلَّمَهُ إِيَّهُ شَيْخَهُ أَسْلُهُ أو إِيَّهُ شَيْخُهُ. In similar manner, the Salik should not take on litanies except those that were taught to him by his sheikh. وَأَصْلُهُ وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَابِعِ. And the proof or the dalil of this is, and we made haram on him the suckling from another. How do I translate that? This is probably a more elegant translation online. This is about Musa alayhi salam. And we ordained that he refuse suck at first. من قبل فقالت هل أدلكم على أهل بيتي يكفلون لكم له وهم له ناصحون. And so when Musa alayhi salam was put, you know, in the river, taken up in the house of the Pharaoh, he was still an infant and he was still being suckled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, made it such that he would refuse suck from anyone such that eventually, you know, the sister said that, you know, I can point out people of the house that can, you know, take care of him for you, and that they will be very sincerely attached to him. And it was really, that was through that way that فَرَضَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَ. It was like, you know, you can think about it, I mean, it's sort of off the topic, it's really so amazing the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. He took such a leap of faith that when the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she acted on the ilham and the wahi that had come upon her, basically the ilham that had come upon her, that she took her own child and just threw him basically to, you know, into the river, to what we would consider a certain death. But through the barakah of that tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in such a way that فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيُّنَهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned that very same child to the mother in such a way that she could have coolness of her eyes, and she should know that, and that one should know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And that you'll see that oftentimes when you make sacrifices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces it with something that far exceeds whatever that sacrifice was. But what the point of dalil over here is, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَابِعَ, and we made haram for him to suck from basically anyone else. And so there's one source that was the source of his physical nourishment. And in a spiritual sense, in suluk, a person can consider it the same way, that our spiritual nourishment also is from one silsila and one individual, one strain. Right, one source. Where is that note? Okay. لو اتخذ أوراد أخرى بنفسه. And so if he were to take other litanies by himself, أو بتعليم غيره يخسر, that by himself or with the teaching of another, that person will lose out. I remember that, you know, there was this one student I had at one point, and, you know, subhanAllah, very sincere and, you know, very on the straight and narrow, so on and so forth. It's really scary when I read this and then just look back in retrospect. And, you know, he would do what I had prescribed, but he would add, oh, can I do this where, then can I do this? And, you know, adding things and adding things and adding things. And eventually he just fell off, right? I don't even know where he is right now. But so, yakhsiru. Sometimes it just becomes clear, khusran. Rather, if a person had just taken a tempered approach and stuck with the plan, inshallah, that would have led to spiritual health. Al-awradu lil-mubtadi kad-dawa'i lil-muntahi. That the litanies for the person who is initiating and starting himself on the path is like the medicine, is like medicine. Wal-muntahi kal-ghidha. And for the person who has reached high spiritual states, who is at the end of their path, kal-ghidha, it is like nourishment. And so, I mean, someone had asked, I think at one point in time, that, you know, after you get khilafah, do you still do zikr? Well, of course, that's your lifeline. But this explains the difference for people who are traveling along the path. At a certain point, the point of the zikr is to provide, you know, provide a medication against different spiritual illnesses, against sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After a certain point, when a person becomes mahfuz from sin, then it still serves a purpose, but it is their spiritual nourishment that takes them closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waniyatul ajr, and also they get ajr for making that, for engaging in zikr fil awrad. Laysa bi qabihatin. This is a separate point. In making the intention of getting reward when doing the awrad, it's not a bad thing. وفي ذلك يتنافس المتنافسون. This is actually the proof of that. So that's not necessarily considered insincerity. That a person makes, says that I'm going to do, you know, an hour muraqabah because I'm going to actually get I'm going to get thawab for it. And the proof of that, and وَفِي ذَلِكَ, and in that, that those compete who are competitors, mutanafis, who have high aspiration, who have aspirations, let them aspire. وَعَلَى السَّالِكَ أَلَّا يَسْتَكْسِرَ أَمَلُهُ فَيَفْتَخِرُ وَلَا ولا يفتخر ولا ولا يستنقصه ييأس. I don't know why it's ولا ولا. Oh, okay. Maybe it's an extra wala in my copy here. Wala salik, and this on the salik, to not increase in his actions, فَيَفْتَخِرُ, so that he falls into this feeling that I'm something great, and he falls into pride. وَلَا يَسْتَنْقِسُهُ, nor should he decrease it, فَيَيْأَسُ, and that it becomes a source of despair. وَهَذَا سِرْ مَقْنُونٌ فِي قَوْلِهِ, and this is the secret that is hidden in the qawl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the verse, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمْعًا, and that they call their Lord in fear and in hope and with longing. And so a person would say, oh, well, where do we see that? Because the person who what's that called? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا مَكْنُونٌ فِي قَوْلِهِ. Right, so this creates a balance, right, where a person neither goes too much, that they're not completely in khawf, nor they're completely in tama. Like the person who, you know, does too much, then they get too much on the tama side, or a person who decreases in their awrad, then they fall perhaps too much on the khawf side. But khawf wa tama is actually the balance between the two. And so similar, the middle path is the path that a person has been described in Surah Al-Sajdah. الدليل Oh, no, sorry. وهذا سرمقنون في خلي الدليل على أوراد صباحا ومساء. Oh, this is a different point. And the دليل of doing a person's word in the morning, in the evening, قوله تعالى يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. And that they do tasbih of him in it. I think it's في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع يذكر فيها اسمه. Yes. في بيوت in houses يعني of worship أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. That translated something with Surah An-Nur. Didn't find it. Maybe أذن الله. Yes, okay. Lit is such a light in houses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted to be raised to honor. And turfa wa yuthkara fi hasmu, and is mentioned in it his name. Yusabbihu lahu, and he is glorified in them, right, in these houses. Fiha bin ghudwi, in the mornings, wal asal, in the evenings. So that's, you know, when you say 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening, that's where that comes from. All right, khair inshallah. I think we can probably keep it to here this week. So we'll start with the 25th one and hopefully finish off the chapter next week. And then we'll talk about the place of the khanqa, inshallah, after that, in the deen. Jazakum Allah khair. I guess you can take, you just unmute for if they have any questions. So if there's no questions, inshallah, then we'll close. Right. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.